I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to the 29th Psalm. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 478. But Psalm 29. A Psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of His name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in His temple all say, Glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. You know, I love storms. And I really do. Although I'm not so sure that I'd want to be in some of those storms that have been around Houston. But I do love storms. I love thunderstorms. I love to watch the lightning. Especially when it's out over the ocean. Of course, I have to admit that there have been a few times when I've been concerned about storms. Once I was on a trip to Hanging Rock State Park. And a couple of us decided to climb up the rocks and then walk as far up the mountain as we could go. It was fairly cloudy when we started, and as we went along, I experienced something that I had never experienced before. The clouds began to lower and surrounded the mountain, and we were actually walking in the clouds. And it wasn't even a Nicholas Sparks novel. We were walking in the clouds. We thought it was pretty cool. I mean, really, to be walking along and the rain clouds were all around you, and it wasn't raining just yet. And we were really enjoying it and having a good time and talking about how cool this was until we heard thunder nearby. And then the thunder started to get closer and closer. So we decided to make a hasty descent down the mountain and turned and started hustling along the path heading down the mountain. And as we began doing that, lightning flashed across the sky not too far from us. And the air we were walking in just started to change and felt a little different. And as we hustled along, the rain started falling. And even with the rain falling and drenching us, the air felt kind of funny. And I looked down and the hair started standing up on the back of my hands and on my arms. And I thought, this may not be good. And so we began to run as the rain fell. And the thunder began to crash all around us rather than just behind us. But we did make it down the mountain in record time. Now, I'm not saying that I'm faster than lightning, but we did get down pretty quickly. But normally, I do like to sit and watch storms. But you know, there are those storms that enter our lives which have nothing to do with a thunderstorm. Have nothing to do with the lightning, the thunder, and the rain. But storms which sometimes crash around us just as loudly as a thunderstorm. Storms that come upon us that are just as fear-inspiring as being caught in a thunderstorm. In fact, in some ways, maybe even more so. Accidents that happen. Diseases that ravage. job losses, deaths, friends or family moving away, changes in careers, leaving the familiar of the school and heading off into a new school or a new area of life. Those storms sometimes can make us a little bit unsettled. The psalm today speaks of the one fixed point, not only, bless you, in and behind the thunderstorms, but the one fixed point in and behind those other storms of life as well. The one who can command them just as well as He commands the thunderstorms that rumble. Commands them and commands from within them when we find ourselves in the middle of those storms of life. Stuart McCullough, in a commentary on Psalms, writes, and I quote, "This particular psalm celebrates the glory of God in the thunderstorm, with the creatures of the earth and the heavenly singers witnessing the wonderful manifestation of Yahweh's power in the storm, but even more in the awfulness of the thunder." But the writer, true to the Hebrew religion, finds more than just a display of divine omnipotence or power in the storm. He finds in it also a source of comfort and assurance. The God who can work such wonders as the thunderstorm can guarantee to His people strength and peace. For the God of nature is also the Lord of history. End of quote. He is the God of all the heavens, and He's present in all places and at all times, regardless of the storms that may come in our lives. The angels, the heavenly beings, are not gods. They are created by God and are those beings which do God's bidding to minister to the earth. And here, those angels are called upon, along with the worshipers, to sing out and celebrate in worship and in praise the omnipotence and the omnipresence of God. Celebrating not only the life-giving rains which come from the storm, but also the rains which come into our lives to refresh us when the storms rage around us. The rains of God's Spirit. That Spirit which sometimes comes straightforward and sometimes comes through individuals around who care. Those rains that refresh. And those rains that remind us that in all of the storms of life, God is present. And so he begins by calling upon the heavenly beings, the angels, and all the heavens as well as those on earth to ascribe to the Lord His wonder, His glory, His splendor. In verses 3 through 9, we find him speaking of the voice of the Lord. In fact, that phrase occurs 7 times. The voice of the Lord in the storms and in the thunder. The storm here comes and it gathers in force, bringing fear to so many. But in this voice, the psalmist finds comfort. Because even the thunder, the voice of the Lord here, even the thunder reminds him, this is the one who brought order and good in the chaos before creation. And therefore, just as God worked in the storms there, as depicted in Genesis chapter 1, God can also bring order, not only out of, but God can bring order within the chaotic storms that enter our lives. The voice of the Lord represents and reveals the nature of God, this one who is the God of history and the God over all creation. God is powerful, even more powerful than the storms. And not just the physical storms that thunder around us, but rather the storms that come into our lives and seek to overwhelm us. God, or the voice of the Lord, is full of majesty, he says. He is the sovereign and commands the utmost respect. Even the strongest of persons, like the cedars of Lebanon, will find storms that seek to defeat them and overwhelm them, that will bend them, that can be broken, not only by the storms of life, but also can be bent and shaped by God. The hills and the mountains, a lot of folks say, what does it mean when it says here, he makes Lebanon skip like a calf? How in the world can the country skip? And Sirion like a young wild ox. Even the earth trembles, even the mountains tremble at the voice of God. Even God is present, or God is present even in the earthquake, the fire, and the rain. The lightning, the flashes of flame remind the writer of God's presence on Mount Sinai. When the people were in the wilderness, when they wondered which way to go, they even wondered if they had a way to go. That great theophany, a tremendous thunderstorm on top of the mountain that lasted all of that time, represented God's presence. And it reminds the psalmist, it is there that God gave the law and the covenant codes by which we are to live. For Christians, the wind and the fire also are reminiscent of God's presence in other times. The wind and the fire came at Pentecost to give even more direction and more specific direction, and to let the disciples and all of those others know that God was present even in the daily drudgery. Bless you. The psalmist here doesn't see all of these storms and descriptions of God in the storm as something to be frightened about. And it's not meant to frighten the people. But these descriptions are meant to inspire confidence in you and me, not just those adherents then, but inspire confidence in you and me today in the Lord of the storm, and to elicit praise so that in His temple all would cry glory. This understanding is seen especially at the close of the psalm. J.R.P. Sclater writes, at this point, the psalm completely changes, but in this change is religious strength found. End of quote. Eventually, the storms will cease. And what the poet realizes and sees is that even in the storm, God is upon the throne. He is enthroned over the flood. He is king forever. God was in control. God was in control in the beginning. God was in control in the flood. The flood here harkens back to Noah and the Noah saga. You know, a lot of ancient people, not just the Hebrews, but a lot of ancient people, especially the Babylonians, thought that the gods themselves were frightened when the flood occurred. Therefore, it was not the Babylonian gods that were in control. It was the God of the Hebrews, the God who is creator, the God who was and is in control of all the storms of life and all the floods that may seek to overwhelm us. The God who was in control of the storms then can give strength and guidance and peace when no other one can. The storm itself was glorious to the people and is called to mind here by the psalmist because it demonstrated God's power and God's provision. And I would add that these storms are reminders that regardless of the storms that come into our lives, there is indeed a Lord of the storms who is present before the storm, who is present within the storm, and who is present even after the storms and the floods come. Sometimes we don't know which way to go. Sometimes we think that the floods are pushing us away from God. And yet, whether those storms might come in the form of death, disease, accident, loss of friends, changes in life, it is that God who is present who wishes to give His faith-filled people strength, and who both can and will have the last word as well. The last word in this psalm is peace. Peace. May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. And this does not necessarily mean that everything will be peaceful, but rather even in the middle of the storm, we can find the peace of God. And so I guess the question that comes to me today, are you in a storm? Well, guess what? So is the Lord of the storm. May we pray. Our gracious God, we do thank You that You're present around us, even when sometimes we forget. We know that storms come in life because that is a part of living. But we also know that You are the one who is present even in those times. Help us to find the peace and the strength even within the storm. And help us to give You the honor, the praise, and the service because of You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our concluding hymn, our hymn of decision, is hymn number 480, Only Trust Him. As we stand and as we sing, may that truly be our prayer and our cry. Hymn number 480, Only Trust Him.